Remember, we passed a motion a little over a full year ago to create an electronic monitoring working group with a very narrow focus to move towards implementation through sector ops plans for an option for electronic monitoring in ground fish sectors. Since we passed that motion, we've been working with staff, pulled together, I think, a really productive and diverse group of folks on that working group. We've had a number of phone calls and in-person meetings. Many of us had also, attended the national and the regional workshops, and there's been a whole lot of discussion about that. Where we are now in this process is we have a draft report that Jamie will be presenting that tries to sort of summarize the discussions we've had. We worked through a process in which we tried to identify barriers, potential solutions, or issues that were yet to be resolved in getting us to the goal of an approved electronic monitoring component of catch monitoring in a sector ops plan. So I think we've made good progress towards that. Leave Jamie to make the presentation and not steal any of her thunder, but I think after we have this presentation, we can have a short conversation about where we go from here.
Thank you. Good morning. Jamie Cornan, Council staff. So what I would like to provide you today is a very high-level overview of our draft white paper. It is a draft and a work in progress. Two documents that you have with you. Document number 10 is the actual draft paper, and 16 if you're following along with the presentation. So briefly, I'll provide you with the timeline of where we've been and where we plan to go, the purpose of our work group, our approach to work, and a broad overview of the draft white paper, and discuss some of the next steps for our working group. So as you recall, last year in April, you created the Electronic Monitoring Working Group. But since that time, between that time and the September Council meeting last year, the group was organized and several conference calls were held. And we provided you, the last time we talked to you was actually at the September Council meeting, and provided you a progress report and an outline of how we'd like to do our work. Since September, we have been continuing our work, and it has led to this draft white paper that we're presenting today. We plan to continue our work after the council meeting, and certainly with input from the discussion today, and then provide you with a final report at the late September-October council meeting. So as you recall, the motion was specific to groundfish fisheries sectors, and it was really the objective of this working group was to identify any existing barriers or necessary steps to for NIMS to approve a sector operations plan that relies on electronic monitoring as a primary mechanism to achieve the Council's identified compliance and catch attribution goals. And we were tasked with providing updates at Council meetings on existing barriers, next steps, and responsibilities for each participating entity, and also timelines for this implementation. Our membership includes both council members, groundfish advisory panel members, industry, general counsel, Office of Law Enforcement, the Science Center, and also GARFO. We have worked through many webinars and conference calls, and we've held one in-person meeting. And then to revise our draft white paper, we've been working through email correspondence. So I'd just like to briefly provide you with an overview of our approach to work. You'll notice in the document we've described this as three components. These components it's not necessarily that we do one and then do the next one. Some of them are actually being completed at the same time. The first step was really to identify these barriers, these broad level barriers to implementation. And the group worked through identifying broad categories. And these included both legal, regulatory, operational, enforcement, and science and biological categories. And it was with these categories that people then discussed in the group specific barriers under these categories and possible synergies across these barriers. So are there enforcement and operational issues? Are there science and biological that also cross into the regulatory area? We're working to summarize this information into tables, and today we're reporting on some of those findings to you. Under Component 2, we were working through the development of more specific monitoring models, so taking it away from a broader discussion on some of the barriers to EM implementation in groundfish sectors and thinking through, well, what could this EM technology be used for specifically, and how might we work through some barriers and potential solutions to overcoming those barriers. So the group developed two models, and I'll talk about those in just a moment, that could potentially be included in a sector operations or monitoring plan, and then has been having quite a lengthy discussion about barriers in each of those models and potential solutions. Ultimately, the group would like to summarize the findings by specific example, and that would be included in the next phase of our white paper. And the last component to our work will really be summarizing recommendations. We've yet to do this work, and I'll describe why and where we are, but it will involve us completing both the first and second component and then coming back with a categorized list of recommendations for both the short and the long-term time frame. So briefly, what you have in front of you for the draft white paper, there's eight sections to the paper. The sections highlighted in red, 5 through 8, have not been completed, and sections 1 through 4 are draft and subject to change and subject to expansion. We provide a broad overview of why this topic is important, which I've outlined today, and our approach to our work. We then have perspectives on barriers to electronic implementation. These are three different perspectives on when we are having a very broad discussion about EM use. And one is from an industry perspective. Another is really looking at an overview of laws and regulatory discussion. And the third is from an analytical perspective. And it was these three perspectives that really were the starting point for our discussions and led us then to focus then on these two models. And the models that we looked at were maximize retention. We did discuss full retention, and we decided at this time that maximize retention was the way this group wanted to pursue, and also an audit of self-reported data. And there's been some discussion already in the previous presentation on what this means, but specifically in the document on page 13, you'll see a description of what we mean by maximize retention model. And really it's here to verify that species are required to be retained and are not discarded so that the primary accounting for species of interest occurs at the dock from deal reports and dockside monitoring rather than at sea. And then you'll also see on page 18, that's also a section that provides an overview of the model for audit of self-reporting data. And this model is used to verify piece counts or weights of species reported by vessel operator in a logbook. You'll note in each of these two sections that there's a general overview of how the model might work, and then a section on barriers and potential solutions. And each of these barriers are discussed in some detail, not to say that there aren't additional barriers or additional solutions. This is currently where we are with the work for the group. I will note that we worked a lot on Model 1, and then we spent time talking about how are there different barriers and different solutions for Model 2, and that's really how this document is set up. It's not to say that some of those barriers and solutions that are identified in Model 1 section couldn't be applied to Model 2, which is the audit approach. It's to say there may be additional things to consider for the audit approach that are different. You also see in your document that there is a list of assumptions to further discuss within the EM models. Through our discussions, both in person and by webinar, there were a number of issues that we felt that we needed to further discuss, and we flagged those in this list. They may ultimately be incorporated above into the previous sections or remain in this list, but they remain important things that we have yet to work through as a group. So really, our next steps today for you are to answer any questions, specific questions you may have about the draft white paper, and discuss any information provided to date. And then just to let you know, after the council meeting, the Electronic Monitoring Working Group plans to hold another in-person meeting and follow up to that in-person meeting through webinars and conference calls as needed. and then finalize our white paper in time for the next council meeting, where we plan to present the full report at that time. That completes my report, and I'll take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Questions for Jamie or Tom? David.
Yeah, Jamie, the draft paper that you've mentioned does a very good job describing the data collection challenges that have to be met. When I go through the paper and review those challenges, I find myself confused as to where the group is going relative to what we can expect eventually from electronic monitoring. My take is from this white paper that it's going to be about discards and only discards. Now, am I missing something here? The challenges to go beyond discards have been described in this white paper, and they are pretty significant. Can we anticipate the final document to have recommendations regarding how this can actually be applied with confidence to get estimates of total catch and not just what's being discarded?
So to answer your first question, there's two sections in the document, and I just want to clarify them. One is Section 3, and Section 3 is a perspectives on barriers. We note in this section that these are snapshots of different perspectives. There may be some overlap of these issues in the different perspectives, and they're not necessarily reflected in each of the perspectives. And another point of this is that we have to work through still as a group what of these perspectives are necessary to get to Section 4. Section 4 is really about the models themselves and how they would be implemented. So I think a lot of what you've described, David, is still yet for the group to discuss, but we do plan to have recommendations in the next version of the document. Tom may have more specific answer than I have.
I'll just follow up to that. I think we currently, in our current system, we have effectively two streams of information for catch. One is discard estimates and projections extrapolated across observed and unobserved trips. And the second is landed catch. And that second sort of document of record is the dealer report. So that's not functionally changing. That's where the fish weights are coming from. That's where they come from now. That's where I think many of us believe, you know, that information will continue to be provided. So it does come down to a certain extent to how we're establishing or how we're tracking any discards in the fishery as the other component of the catch. So a lot of our conversation has focused around replacing what we currently have, which is observed discard rates on a subset of trips and extrapolated discards or assumed discards on other trips with sort of audited, using electronic monitoring to audit discards. So in effect, we all know cameras aren't great at weighing fish, and I think the working group's discussion has focused on not asking them to do things that they can't do and that provide information that we currently get through different means. That's where I think we're heading, but we will explore that more in our subsequent conversations, and it'll be in our final report.
Yeah, Tom, you and your group have done some great work. I mean, this document is well done. The obstacles are well defined. I'll end by just commenting on one section of the document itself. That's on page 9 at the top, where in the second paragraph it mentions the statistical challenges of combining data from two different collection methods, the SBRM, ASM versus EM, have yet to be met, and it goes on from there. So with that statement in the document, I'm confident that the Northeast Fishery Science Center is going to continue to play a major role in assisting us overcome, they'll just better describe the challenges and then overcome, if they can be overcome, those statistical challenges, because if we cannot do that, then much of the hard work that you've done so far might not bear fruit, and I hope it does.
Tom.
That's a great segue and an opportunity to really, for me personally, to thank the entire working group, particularly those in the service and at the Science Center, NOAA Law Enforcement. Those folks have come out and contributed consistently, have identified issues, but also have been at the table to try to work towards solutions. I think this working group format has been really helpful and constructive for that. And to answer your, to address your point, those people are right there at the table, and they are trying to work towards outcomes that, that allow us to use that information. If it doesn't provide information we can use at the back end, then, I'd agree that we're all sort of wasting our time. But I do want to thank the Science Center, the regional office for the work that they've put into this, and definitely Jamie and the staff at the council for pulling this together. I think we have the right mix of folks in the room, and we're working towards both identifying challenges and then addressing them. So I really do appreciate the work that so many people have put into this.
Are there any other comments for Jamie or Tom? Seeing none, I too would like to thank you all for the great amount of work you've been doing, and looking forward to receiving the report in September. We are going to take a 10-minute break and jump right back into the rest of a day of groundfish.